Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Hello and welcome to today's episode. We have a special guest with us, Ms. Dr. Emily Latran. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure. And thank you for creating this platform so we can share our story, share our strategies on how to grow our business.
Absolutely. Dr. Emily, it's been a pleasure to meet you recently, actually, as a result of the Marketers Cruise. And I just appreciate how humble you are as a human being. You're very unassuming and very humble, but you are definitely a high performance entrepreneur. And I know you are certified as a high performance coach. And you've been on many big stages, sharing stages with people like Sharon Lecter, Kevin Harrington, Dr. Howards. I was just on your website and I saw that you're the author of several books, I think like 5 or 6 books. You've been featured on Forbes, US Today, Fox News, and you're the founder of Exceptional Leverage Inc. You have a global coaching and consulting firm. And you host a signature event called Action to Win. It's a seminar that you've done in several countries around the world. So very excited to host you here today and get to learn more about your experience leading events.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I think to your point there, it's always important to be out there because otherwise you're going to be the best kept secret in your industry. And I'm glad we'll be chatting about events because I think that is one of the things that I think everybody should do if they want to grow their business fast.
Yes, absolutely. And a little open hook here, a story that I'm going to ask you about a little later is I saw that we were connecting on social that you met the Dalai Lama. You've also were knighted as well. So very interesting. I think you're like what it's a Renaissance woman. But I want to hear that story. So I'm going to leave that in an open loop for our audience here. But let's chat more about events. I know you had a successful career in corporate. You went on to coach many dentists to grow and sell their practices as well. And then you moved on to working with entrepreneurs. When did you start to do live events? Just kind of give us a little context and how did you come to doing events as part of your business?
Yes. Well, first of all, just to give a quick synopsis, I actually came to the U.S. as a refugee, originally from Vietnam. Wow. And then went through struggles and everything. And then I am a dentist, been a dentist for 32 years. And during that journey, I learned a lot because in dental school, they only teach you the clinical part. So you learn the business part, then eventually go down that path learning marketing and learning personal growth. And about 2015 is when, so about 10 years ago, is when I felt I'm so blessed I've been able to learn all this and I've been able to grow my businesses. And it's time to help other people grow. And I actually was really resistant to being a speaker. I wrote my first book and I was told you need to speak. And I'm just like, I didn't sign up to be a speaker, but I soon learned that speaking is what puts you in front of people. When you're speaking, people just assume that you are an expert. You got to have something to say for you to be able to speak. And the wonderful way of positioning yourself is actually to host your own event. Because when you're on other people's stages, of course, you're leveraging their audience. But when you host your own event, and it doesn't have to be real big, it could be smaller, but now you are positioning. Again, you got to know a little bit more in order to host your own event. Because you have your own tribe, you have your connection. And a lot of time what I find is when I'm on stage at my own event, performing, put it that way, when I'm speaking, coaching, training, I'm also in front of the other speakers. So a lot of time I find I do my own event, the speakers become my clients, the audience become my clients, and you just grow so much faster when you create your own event, basically creating your own economy.
Awesome. Yes, yes. Doing events by default positions you as a leader. Absolutely. People assume that you have something to say if you're leading an event.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying just do an event and pretend to be a leader. Obviously, you got to have that substance. You got to have that integrity. Pushing yourself to do the event sometimes is something that you're not ready. And of course, it took me a couple of years to actually say, okay, I think I should do this. But, and I study, I had a coach who, that was his main thing, was to do events. He does several events a year. And so we go there and we observe how he runs the events. And then we say, okay, then I'm going to go and do my own thing. And I have my own audience, but I already learn and observe how you do it. So for me, it's always about you already doing thing, you're already speaking. The next step is to actually host your own event, because then people actually look at you a little different. I'm a speaker is one thing. I host a seminar is something else. And it does elevate you. And so just have that ambition and have that drive to fulfill that ambition.
Excellent. That's a great, great, great notes there. And I like how you connect doing an event with leadership and doing the personal growth and the integrities mentioned to become someone who could do it. Because yeah, underlying this podcast and a lot of the work I do, I have just a huge passion for leadership. And I do believe that events are a vehicle for growth. Absolutely. So thank you for that. Let's chat a little bit about your experience with lab events. I know you have the Action to Win seminar that you run several times per year in various places, including, I think you have one coming up in Chicago later this year, my hometown. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs. Yes, yes. So here's a couple of the main problems that I hear oftentimes from people either on the show or people that listen to the show or clients. They're like, hey, what do I do my event about? What's meaningful in a way that's going to bring people to my event? What has been your experience when it comes to that?
Well, I think you should speak on your own expertise. I'm sure you've heard of business coach who have never had a business. That sometimes that's a problem that people do that. I think if whatever your expertise is, the easiest one is to do an event and talk about that, because you don't have to go and learn new things. This is things that you already know. So if you're an expert in that, start with your event with that. Then is usually the people that you're going to help, they're going to be the one in the same industry. They may be behind you. Like I've been a dentist for 32 years. If I talk to somebody who's been in the industry for 5 years, I'm sure I have a lot of pearls and wisdom to share with them. So look at your same industry first and look at who may need the help and then see where they're gathering. That's one of your basic marketing strategy. If they are hanging out at Starbucks, you probably want to go to Starbucks and invite them to go to your event. If they're hanging out at the Dental Society meeting, I will go to the Dental Society because they already are gathering there. I can go there and invite them. Also look at the people who already have your audience. So I may talk to a CPA who works with dentists because he already has the dentist. Now, yes. How do I get him to come to my event and invite his client? I think a lot of times people make it really hard. They speak on something that maybe that's not their expertise, but it may be something that is hot and they catch that trend. And then now they try to figure out how to bring people to that. So I think if you stay in your lane in the sense of this is my expertise, I'm going to speak on this. I know I can deliver the outcome on this. And then look at people who can complement you, people who could be your team. So as an example, as a dentist, the CPA is one of my team members of expert. An attorney could be another one. When I'm doing coaching, it could be a marketing company, or it could be another speaker who speaks on something that is related. These are all your team. And then when you come together, you can bring more people than just you saying, okay, come and learn from me. Come learn X from me. If I got a couple of speakers who speak on different things that are related to what I'm doing, I can grow that audience fairly fast.
Yeah. Leveraging other people's networks. And so hosting an event based on your expertise, but also the expertise of the people that you have around you or in your network as well. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And when it comes to filling your events, I know that that's actually the number one question that people ask is how do I put butts in seats sometimes to say, or how do I fill my event? What has worked for you? What have been your best practices when it's come to filling your events?
I'm sure there are a couple ways to make an event profitable. You can make money from the sponsors. You can make money from the attendees, the ticket sales, and you can make money on the back end. So a lot of time for me, what has been my experience is because my event is not like a huge big room with hundreds of people. It's more certain qualified people in the room. For me, what I've been doing is I get the sponsors to pay for the event. So now I could be selling tickets, or maybe I'm offering the ticket for free. I don't want to have to front the money, obviously, because that usually is a challenge, spending money to do the event. Work on the sponsors who can also serve your audience, have them pay for the event. Then you can bring people in. There could be a mix of pay attendees, free attendees, whatever it is. And then on the back end, have a program where you can sell to people and make more money. So I think the key thing is, what is the goal? Why do you do the event? If you do the event, like I do the event to fill my coaching practice. So if the outcome is, hey, I want two clients paying me $50,000 each. Okay, well, that's the outcome. So now I need to get so many people in the room so I can get two clients out of that. And to be honest with you, a lot of time, the client, the people who sign up, they are the free ticket. It's not who pay or who come in for free. I think if you put in the qualified people, and the qualified people for my dentist event could be a dentist who's in practice for a couple of years and they know that they want to grow. And if they want to grow fast, then they talk to me. If you're going to do real estate and you have people who want to learn flipping houses, for example, but if you're going to talk about multifamily, well, you got the wrong audience because they're not ready for that. They just want to flip the house. So to try to be a little bit more qualifying your audience, either that or if you're going to talk about multifamily, then you get somebody else to talk about flipping house. So you yes. can address everything that the audience wants to learn. And that comes from what are you putting out there? What are you promising? So a lot of it has to do with the clarity. Okay, I'm doing this event. It is for this audience. This is what the outcome is. And then I don't want to deal with stress. I teach people how to control stress. And so I don't want to get stressed out and see, okay, how many people are in the room because I already reserved this room and it's going to cost me X dollar. I get the sponsors to take care of that for me. So I don't have to worry about that. Then I do want to bring the people in the room, make the sponsors happy, but I don't have out-of-pocket expense. I could be working with a marketing company who can do the marketing for the event, and then I would give them some stage time to talk. So strategically, work with people who can help you run that event, and you don't have to spend a lot of money on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, just bringing people together, sponsors or speakers that will potentially pay for the event. And I can be pretty low cost and a good way to get personal clients in your case for your coaching practice.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. It's not potentially because that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Great clarification. Thank you. Okay, great. So that's been working for you is working with sponsors and other promoters of sort to make the event low cost. And then I'm assuming you go out, you're the one that goes out, or do you have a marketing agency that is bringing people to your event?
I don't have a marketing agency. What I do a lot of time is, obviously, when we say, okay, we're going to do an event, we may have a following, a group of followers, certain people who know us. I'm pretty active on social media, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or in different groups. And so when I'm in there, people already know me. When I announce that there's an event, those are the first people that most likely will ask about it or they show up to it. Obviously, if I tell them I'm going to do this four times and they over in Florida, they're not going to try to come to California kind of thing. So I do it in different cities, different parts of the country so that it'd be easier for people to get to, put it that way. But I don't, so far, I haven't really have a marketing agency per se, trying to bring in people to the event. I think that is certainly something that you can do. If you do that, I would highly recommend to pay on performance or you split revenue on the back end. So that way you're going to compensate them for certain things, but you're not going to just pay up front and then you don't know if they can actually deliver. Because there's a lot of companies out there that they may not be able to deliver what you want, your results.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, thank you. So just to clarify, what you do is you're the one that goes out and promotes, correct?
Yes. And it's not so much that I go out. It's already part of my activity.
Yeah.
To stay top of mind, to just be in front of people. Yeah.
In groups, various groups and networks that you're part of.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you for clarifying. And then they come to the event. Your particular event is like a day and a half. You said 9 to 5. And then the next day, 9 to about 3 o'clock. What is your best practice when it comes to keeping engagement like keeping people doing the work and getting the results at the event?
Yeah. So for me, engagement mean different things. One thing that means that they're taking notes. So before they come, when I send the email, like the reminder email, I'm going to tell them to bring notes, note paper. So they know that I'm expecting them to be taking notes, to be engaged. During the event, it's giving little exercise. It could be turn to the person next to you and share three things that you're going to do that has to do with clarity or energy or whatever it is that I'm asking them to do. Breaking the event, meaning you don't just have one speaker come up and talk and then you talk and then you talk. Well, you're actually breaking people into activities. It kind of creates a different momentum when you come back from the event, from the break. And really force people to just, it's like, no, you have to do it. You can go take a break. And I set that intention at the very beginning. This is a working event. There's a paper there for you. I asked you to bring note paper, but if not, there's no paper here. And you're going to be committed to yourself and to your business. So setting the expectation, I think, is very important. If you were promising something, like, let's say this part, let's say day one is on marketing, and I say by the end of the day, you're going to have a marketing plan with 5 bullet points in the time, the month that you're going to execute, then I should be delivering that by the end of day one. So they're not going to say, I went to that event and I didn't get anything. No, we said, well, you're going to have a marketing plan when you leave. You do have that marketing plan. Challenging people is a good thing. I think one of my events, I said, I challenge you to be an author in 30 days. And if you do accept that challenge, then you stand up. Well, then guess what? One of my offers is going to be how to write a book. But the point is, when you challenge people, they have to sit there and say, do I want to do this or not? And if they know that that is a good thing for their business, they'll take on that challenge. And you can do follow-up conversation, follow-up email and say, hey, it's the 15th day. Have you written whatever? You say you want to be an author. So giving them questions to answer, asking them to engage in little group or just one-on-one with the person next to them, challenging them. Those are some of the things that you can do to keep people engaged. And like I shared with you before we got on the call, I don't tell people the agenda. They may know, oh, Rudy's speaking today, but they don't know when Rudy's going to be up. Like they may know that Rudy's going to come up and talk about X, but they don't know when Rudy's going to be up. So that way, I want people to stay in the room because they don't know who's going to be up next and they don't want to be missing anything.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. And then ultimately, you get to the end of the event and you want to help them continue the journey with you, become clients in your case. What has been your best practice? Like, what's worked best for you when it's come to taking people from the event to becoming private clients?
Well, I always make an offer. So I usually kind of do a soft offer at the end of day one. And then, so then people may be thinking about it, and then they ask you in the evening reception, day two, then we'll give them a hard offer. There's a deadline. There's a discount if you sign up for it right now. And there's bonuses if you sign up for it right now. And then after that, it would be follow-up emails after the event. I would say in my events, most of the time, people sign up at the end of day two. Sometimes they sign up at the end of day one. If they already gotten a lot of value, and they know why they're there. They're there because they say they want to grow their business. And at the end of day one, if you're already delivering a lot of value, they can kind of see, oh, this is what I'm going to get if I continue this journey with you. So I think to make sure that you give a lot of value at the event where they can see if they continue with you, for sure they're going to learn more and they'll be able to do more. And obviously, sometimes financial could be a challenge. And I personally am very open to letting people do payments because sometimes that's what's stopping them. Like if you tell people, okay, I need you to pay $30,000 right now, maybe they don't. They want to work with you, but they may not have the $30,000 right then and there. And so give them some options to make payments just to make it easier for them to say yes. Because if that's your reason, if that's what you want to serve as many people as you can, then you want to make it easier for people to work with you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Emily. I appreciate you sharing that journey of your events. This has been really helpful, very thorough, very detailed. It's no surprise coming from you that you put a lot of thought into how you do your events, And I'm curious to hear from you, kind of side related, how did you meet the Dalai Lama? Like, you have a photo with you and the Dalai Lama. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's funny. I had this breakthrough recently. Like I told you at the beginning, I was kind of resistant to being a speaker and then let alone host an event. But I realized that that's what helped me put myself out there, that I can actually serve more people if I'm in that position of authority, public, like a public figure. And what that did is a lot more people know me, and they may not be related to whatever the heck I'm doing. So I was invited to go into a Vietnamese movie because I'm originally from Vietnam. And as an investor and then as an advisor. And in that process, I met somebody who we were talking. She did a documentary about a Vietnamese refugee. And I'm one of the refugees who we started talking about this. And then she mentioned that she has visited the Dalai Lama. And I said, hey, next time you go, I got to go with you. And that's what happened. Now, my point of saying this is she wouldn't have known me if I weren't in that project. And they would not have invited me into that project if I weren't a speaker that I was out there. So definitely there was the higher force who put me there in the right place at the right time. But it's because I'm out there, if that makes any sense. So if I have it my way, now I'm kind of changing it a little bit. I'm telling everybody, you should be a speaker. That's how you're out there. And that's how opportunities come to you. So yeah, but that's how I was able to go see the Dalai Lama. Now, obviously, she didn't just invite random people because she knows of me. I was a refugee. I get involved in cultural projects in the community. And then obviously I do charity and all that. So it's all in alignment with the people that she brings to the Dalai Lama.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Congratulations. Yeah, there are no coincidences.
Yeah.
Yourself out as a speaker, as a leader, and you got invited to be part of that experience.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And Dr. Emily, as we kind of come to a close on our interview here, let me ask you this. If our audience wants to know more about you and learn more about what you do, maybe perhaps as a high performance coach, maybe you can support them in some way. What is the best way for them to learn more about you and what you do?
Yes, they can go to my website. It's DrEmilyLetran.com. So it's DrEmilyLetran.com. There's a high performance quiz on there. There's something that they can download, and they can also book a call with me. Or they're on their phone, they can text the word Rudy to my phone. It's 626-808-5762. And when they text it, I will reach out to them and maybe we can just hop on a call and see how I can help support them. Because again, my whole purpose of being on a platform and sharing things like this is people just hear, oh, is that how she does it? Because maybe sometimes they balked out, I can't do this event. Because how do I sell my ticket? Well, maybe go look for the sponsor. And the sponsor is going to pay for that room and pay for the meals. And now you can put people in the room. And you can start small and then you grow big, whatever you want to do. It's what you want as long as you're clear. What is it that you want?
Absolutely. Yes. And we'll be sure to include the link to your website here near this video or audio in the show notes so our audience can go check you out. Thank you for being with us today. Any final words for our audience as we wrap up?
Yes. If you've been doing events or if you're thinking about doing events, I say just take a moment and look at the structure. Sometime if you keep doing the same thing and you're going to get the same result. And if you want to change, sometimes it's just the messaging, what the event is for. Sometimes when you get sponsors, I forgot to mention the other thing with sponsor, besides the fact that they're going to give you money, is if you get the right sponsor, it also elevates your status. So if I'm doing an event for dentists and the companies that are sponsoring me are big companies, that speaks to, she must be somebody important. That's why they're supporting her. And so when you look for the sponsor, that too, you could have a lot of smaller sponsors, but look for one or two that would impress your audience and work at that, because if you could do that, then it elevates you. Or Sometime, and this is just like a side note, sometime I go to an event and I say, okay, I may not be learning a whole lot at this event because they may be teaching what I already know, but I'm going there and I'm going to pick up sponsors. Mm-hmm. Because the sponsors at that event can probably support my events. So I would go to an event as an attendee and I would walk out with three sponsors.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In perspective. Yeah. Okay, great. There you go. I think after this episode, not having the money to do an event is no longer an excuse. Dr. Emily gave so many ways to do it, have somebody else pay for it.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, main thing is don't get stressed. Like people, they're so stressed out with selling tickets or whatever. And my first thing is, why did you get that big room? Why did you want to sell so many tickets? If you just start with something that is, you can probably do, and then just get sponsors to pay for it. I think the only time that I got burned was doing it in a high-end hotel because I felt like, oh, maybe I should do that. And I got into one of those clauses where they make you do the room block.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one time. And I said, never again. I don't want to do room block again because the event was fine. But because I guarantee certain room blocks and the people didn't buy the room, then I got stuck with that. But other than that, I don't think we should be so stressed out doing the event. It's more planning, how do I get the money to do that event first? Could be conversation with sponsor, that could be planning. And if you don't know who you should talk to, go to somebody else's event. Because they already got the sponsor who paid for their event.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever you're presenting, it might be something that they like and then they become your sponsor. The last event I spoke at, I picked up a $30,000 sponsor.
Excellent. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Life hack.
What are those hacks? You're going to an event for what? Well, I'm looking for sponsors.
Awesome. Thank you for those final comments and great tips for our audience. It's been wonderful to have you on here as a guest. Thank you, Dr. Emily, for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.